This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 4, Episode 84, I chat with Stephen Butcher from the Bush Turkey Track Club and Narissa O'Donnell from BERT on our final episode of the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series. The episode kicks off with a general reflection of the Gold Coast Marathon event itself and then moves into us discussing key race results. We then shift into discussing our individual race experiences and finish with our 2025 running plans and goals. For those who've tuned in for one or all of these episodes as part of the Road to Gold Coast Half series, Stephen, Narissa and I thank you for listening and we hope that you've enjoyed our running discussions and perhaps even learnt something to take away into your own running moving forward. Thanks again and enjoy this special race recap finale episode. Opposed to it being quite specific, but that ankle-ish calf injury I was talking about just feels a bit weird in there at the moment. I'm not sure what it is, so hopefully that disappears the more I jog this week. I'll just jog to like Friday, Saturday, and the threshold, I think, late in the week. All right, welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. It's the last one, the finale of the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series, and we're sitting here on a Monday night post the Gold Coast Marathon event itself, and what an amazing event it was. The weather was fantastic, particularly for the half marathoners. I guess a bit warm and humid potentially for the marathoners, but the overall atmosphere, what a weekend. Sellout events in that half and that marathon. You can't get any more people at the moment out there. I'm not sure of the exact numbers, guys, of runners out in the event, but I'm hearing numbers of close to 30,000 for the weekend. And when I talk about guys, we've got the usual co-hosts here. That is Stephen Butcher from the Bush Turkey Track Club and Narissa O'Donnell from the BERT Squad. So welcome back firstly to Stephen.
Thanks, Sully. Looking forward to hearing all about races. I saw both of you briefly after the race yesterday on Saturday, but yeah.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it? Didn't see Stephen again for the whole weekend. And secondly, welcome back, Narissa, for the final time. And I should have said, by the way, now 1:13 half marathoner for Stephen and now 1:17 half marathoner for Narissa. So massive congratulations from me to both of you.
Thanks, Ollie. Yeah, it's good to be back and to chat about the race.
100%. It's the last one. It's been an awesome journey with you guys. And yeah, hopefully we get the continuation of listeners who have been tuning in for over a month now to us and it being the final recap episode of the event. By way of agenda, of course, we'll talk about the Gold Coast event, but let's start talking about it just in general to begin with, and then we'll get into our race recaps, starting to talk about our experiences out there. Of course, always very different. Narissa and I will have a more similar experience than Stephen, being so close in the race in the end. And I'd love to hear after that about your 2025 goals or races that are lined up for the year so the listeners who have tuned in can kind of follow our journey, particularly probably more so for Stephen and I being on Strava. I know Narissa updates a fair bit on her Instagram and she's always up on results and she's a Roadrunners fan too. Roadrunners is often the place to see when how Narissa is tracking. Anyway, let's get to the Gold Coast event because it was an amazing weekend. I just touched on the weather. That Saturday couldn't have been almost any better. The only complaint you could even have to the very slightest was there was a headwind of about, I think it was about 7K to finish. And I think if you'd run the race well, it would hardly have affected you. But because I was so cooked at about 17, 18K, I felt it, but it was hardly a detriment to runners, I think. About 12 to 13 degrees across the race. And as always, a dead flat course. So PB conditions were in place. Unfortunately, I didn't get my PB, but I'll get to that shortly. But so happy about my result personally. The atmosphere too, like again, this half marathon is the event of the weekend, isn't it? It's got such great depth at the elite and the recreational end or sub-elite end as well. My first race weekend with the Bush Turkey Track Club as well as part of that club, and what an atmosphere and environment they had. Almost 30 runners for the weekend for the club, and it was just such a special weekend to enjoy it with them because for us, we ran the half marathon Saturday, and of course, this event finishes well into the mid-morning of Sunday, so much time to lap that up. And one thing I noticed too, guys, Strava's amazing in the sense that I think when you look at kudos on people's events, it really sort of represents not like how fast someone is, but the journey they've taken. And if they've had a run that reflects, say, a PB, or even just a time that represents some kind of hurdle they've overcome, the kudos is ridiculous. One example is Taz Savage from the Bush Turkey Track Club. He is going off at the moment locally. I think he's got about 200 kudos on his Strava, over 70 comments, because the man has locked in for over 3 to 4 months. He's put aside triathlon and Ironman training to specifically focus on this event. Had an 11-minute PB, second fastest Turkey, by the way, at 2:40. And I thought he was a great example of someone that just week after week backed up consistently, and the result came. And Strava does provide that reflection of that. I had three athletes too out there. One PB'd the half marathon, which I was stoked about. The other two didn't PB. They sort of came to me in, I guess, a position that probably wasn't going to warrant a PB. One of them actually came to me 4 weeks out from the marathon itself. So that was very difficult. And the other guy was sort of having a running comeback. But congratulations to those three local legends athletes. Narissa, how do you think of the weekend?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ollie, with what you said. I think it was pretty perfect running conditions, to be honest. We were really lucky. I think earlier in the week there was a lot more wind, and I was a little bit worried, like, oh, it's going to be a repeat of last year where we had like quite a significant headwind and it was a bit rainy at the start, but the forecast was saying it's going to clear. So I was just hoping they were right, and they were. It did clear. I did feel it a little bit like you. I was sort of by the end, I'd lost the pack. So I did feel a small headwind at the end. But to be honest, yeah, nothing like last year. I thought, if I can run into the headwind last year, I could make it home this year. It was definitely a lot less and perfect temperature for me. Yeah, around 12, 13 degrees. I guess some people might prefer it even a little bit cooler, but for me, that's perfect. I didn't feel cold, but I didn't feel hot. Sorry, that's all. Do you want me to go into my race, or do you want to?
Sorry, my internet
You
cut out
fine?
there. Did you hear that, Stephen?
Yeah, I heard Narissa didn't quite get it.
Yeah, sorry,
Yeah, it
just
was
repeat that,
crazy.
Narissa. Sorry, it might be my internet, but just go again.
No, I was just going to say it was, I just said it was all perfect conditions, weather, wind,
Yeah,
everything.
100%.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it was, we couldn't have really asked for better.
No way. No way. Stephen, general experience of the event itself. You had your family there for the weekend.
Yeah, really good weekend. Is also the first weekend we'd gone away with my son, so I'm sure you two have both done that when you add a kid then go away. So that was very fun. Little bit all over the shop, but the race weekend itself was awesome. Like, yeah, great conditions. Like as Ollie mentioned, like we had so many of the bush turkey guys and girls doing it that, you know, like at the start, like we met up at the, you know, the Moreton Bay tent, because yeah, majority of us, or a big majority of us, are Moreton Bay members. Yeah, and then we had, you know, had all the guys. And so for me, that's kind of like the best thing in a race, is if you have some of your mates around and you can just relax and enjoy the experience, like right up to the start line. And you know, I saw so many people out on course, like, and heard so many people. I missed a lot more of them on the way back, but and just you just hear your name and you're, oh, who is that? And you sort of half get a glance of them. But yeah, it's a great weekend. And like, you know, for us, who the three of us who are, you know, quite, you know, involved in the sort of running community down here, just so many people, you know, do it, and it's just like, it's almost like a festival atmosphere. It's sort of, it's a great event, and it's yeah, I had an absolute blast, and yeah, had a pretty good result. So yeah, no complaints from me. Like, yeah, doesn't it's yeah, I think it's the best race. It's the best half marathon in Australia. I reckon. I don't know how any other one in Australia beats it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I guess it's only really Melbourne or Sydney that could rival it. But yeah, in terms of the breadth of runners and it comparative to the other events of the weekend, it's got to be right up there. One thing I didn't say also, I was out on the bike on Sunday, first time, just heading around the course. And you can pretty much go on the bikeways the whole way. I did admittedly have to get on the road at some points, but it was awesome just to track so many runners that, again, those Bush Jerky Track Club runners, a few of the Burt Squad runners and rest of it, of course, I know from years of running out there and my athletes as well, was awesome. I covered about 35 kilometres, then parked up at about 38 kilometres into that marathon race and just sat there for probably the last half an hour of my experience and head back to catch up with all the Bush Turkey Track Club guys. So that was awesome. The socials were going off, like for a podcaster who runs and has a, I guess, a half decent following, like the socials were just going mad. And then, of course, Strava as well. So it was hard to keep up. I couldn't sleep both nights, like just absolutely wired about the whole event and my experience as well. But speaking of results, we'll get into that because, of course, the event offers the marathon down to the 5K. We'll talk about the marathon half and 10K. And, I've got Narissa here to kick us off on the marathon results. I didn't see any footage of the marathon itself, but I have had a look at the half marathon. How about yourself, Narissa?
I didn't see any of the race live because I was trying to drive back to the Sunshine Coast to see my daughter's soccer tournament. But I was tracking people on the tracker whenever I could. So the men's, I think, is it international sweep? I think I got the short straw here with these names. But so the men's marathon was, the top three were all Japanese. For the winner was Yuki Takai, and he ran 207 33, which was a new race record. Took 7 seconds off the old course record. Second place was Aoi Ota in 208 31. That was his debut, apparently. And third was Ryoma Takei Uchi, which is, and he ran 208 38. And then I'll just mention, for the top Australian was Rhys Edwards in 2:17:56, and he was 20th. So very international heavy in the men's marathon. The women's marathon was the same, lots of international names. So the winner was Ethiopian Tigges Aimer, and that was her debut marathon in 2:29:27. Second place was Kenyan Caroline Kilel in 2:29:44, and I saw that she actually won Boston Marathon in 2011.
Oh,
It's
okay.
cool. And then third was another Ethiopian, Alem Tsai in Zay Rehan. Hopefully that's somewhat correct, in 2:31:17. So yeah, another all internationals there. Top Aussie was Simone McGuinness, 2:37:05, 7th place. So yeah, very stacked with internationals the marathon this year.
Yeah, it's great to see the Japanese back because, of course, through COVID, we had to cancel the event. And then even when was the next one after that? Was it 22? It came back to having people run in the event in person. And it was just a little bit light on with the Japanese. So to have three there at the top is fantastic. A course record. Looks like he was a minute ahead of that second place as well. Looks like there was a bit of runoff between second and third, though, at both 208 and mid as well. Interesting, though, to note, I guess I'm reiterating this from what Narissa said, that Japanese contingent made up the men's and then an African contingent for the women. But the Japanese do love the Gold Coast. They've always loved the Gold Coast for running or not running. It's the place to be for them. It's just the typical Aussie sunny coastal city to go to, and running is just a compliment to what they're after, these guys. And that was great to see them back. Anything else to add there to the marathon, Stephen?
Not too much. I saw I mean, I think is pretty deep field of like at that top end in terms of the internationals. But I saw Reece Edwards running past, and yeah, he's a smooth mover. So when I was sort of around, but he was sort of a fair way back. But then I think I mean 207 on probably on the Sunday wasn't ideal condition. So I sort of proves that that's a pretty fast time. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think
Yeah, exactly.
also Rinny Ringy from the Gold Coast was in that podium with Ella McCartney and also Kate Narissa, if I got that correct, from Burt, in that top three for the Australian contingent for the marathon.
That was the
Queensland.
Queensland Marathon champs. So
Yeah.
yeah, Rini and then Ella and then Kate, yeah, from Burt Squad. So that was It must have been part of the Queensland Marathon Champs. It has been that actually most years. I'm not sure if they still do they have that collaboration with the Kobe Marathon where the winners can go over to Kobe and run the Kobe Marathon.
Oh,
I don't know if
yes.
that's still a thing, but that was always pretty cool for whoever was the top Queenslander had the opportunity to go do that.
Yeah, I know Liam Burden's done that before in the past. So, yeah,
I
not
think
too
Rennie
sure on
went
that
over
one.
last year as well.
Yeah, I think Rennie did go last year, so I'm not sure if she's going to go again or not, or. Yeah.
Yeah, I rode past Rennie on the bike and saw her for about 3 seconds because she appropriately told me to move away because she could be DQ'd. And that was a part where I was sort of deviating onto the road to get around people, which was completely fair enough. So I got off the road quickly onto the bike path and just recorded her and Kyle Weiss, who coaches that. Kyle Weiss runs coaching on the Gold Coast. They had heaps of athletes out there. He's killing it, by the way, and got a nice running shot of those guys off the course, which I did post in the end. The half marathon. So I'll progress here talking about the half. And this was an amazing race. I have seen the footage. The race at the front was between four runners, and Isaac Hayne and Andy were in that top four. The others were Japanese runners, Sonota and Sakuda. But from about, I'd say it was 2K out from memory, there was the four of them who gapped Sam Clifford behind them in fifth place. Andy was in fourth for a majority of this race. Isaac was on the front for a bit. Then I'm not sure if he's Japanese, another runner was not the ones I just mentioned, was at the front for a bit. But towards the end, these four guys, Hammer and Tong, last at a 4K. Andy takes over about a K and a half out. And you guys would know that section where you come over the creek or river there, where it then turns into that final K with the tents. Just before that, Andy overtakes these guys within seconds, just puts the foot down and overtakes them and just continues to move away from these guys. And if you know Isaac Hayne at all, well, he's on the podcast the other month, but his kick and his speed is unbelievable. And he just could not make any progress up towards Andy, who finished with a course record as well. And he's broken two records. That was the 92 Kenyan guy, Benson Masai or Masia, back in 92. That's a huge record. And then what I think is more significant, and Pat Carroll was fantastic because Pat Carroll was the record that was taken from Andy. That's Yorkammers Australian record on Australian soil, that is, for 61.11. And Andy had a 61.08. And that was set back in 94. And Pat's a funny guy. I've known Pat for years. He coached my dad like 20 to 30 years ago. And then I coached out there in West End of Brisbane and got to know Pat pretty well. He's a hilarious guy, but he does like to remind people about that time. And I saw a short clip that Gold Coast posted of him giving Andy a shake instead of handing over the time, which was a pretty special moment. And I just think a fantastic showing of what Andy's running like at the moment. So yeah, the top three were Andy Buchanan in that 101.08 or 61.08, then Sonota at 61.10 and Tsukuda 61.11, all within 3 seconds. It's crazy. Leanne Popiani, you guys would have seen her out in the course. There was a huge pack around her coming back south as we were traveling north. Stephen would have been a lot closer than us, Narissa. But yeah, she had this pack of about 15 blokes at least in it. I know Kieran Perkins was in it. Probably a bit slower for him on that run. He's been away for a few weeks, Kieran. So I think he just decided to jump into this pack to get a bit of a pacing along that south run anyway towards the finish. She actually finished about 5 seconds ahead of Leanne, had to deviate that finishing ribbon for Leanne to go through, and about three blokes just went to the side to allow her to go through that winning banner. Caitlin Adams in 60.10.26. I don't think she was really, unless you remember seeing her out there with Leanne, I just don't know if she was with her at any point, unless she was at the start. Then Madoka Nakano, Japanese runner in 10.40. So those two were pretty close, with a bit of a gap for most of it, I think, between Leanne and Caitlin. Anything to add there, Narissa? Did you see how close Caitlin was?
No, I didn't actually. I only saw the pack with Leanne. And by the time, we were sort of going past them, they'd probably, made their sort of moves. Yeah, no, I didn't see Caitlin, at all. It was interesting. Everyone thought it would be a battle between Jess and Leanne, but Jess obviously didn't have a great day for her. She finished back in 74 minutes.
Yeah, any idea there?
Yeah,
She
she
set
posted
out
it was a
at
tough day.
an appropriate pace, but then at looking at splits, it just dropped off very quickly. Was there an injury out there? Do we know?
I'm not sure what happened because she just posted on her Instagram that she had a tough day and it didn't go well for her, but she didn't really elaborate as to why. She didn't say there was an injury or anything. So that was a little surprising, but I think she said ready to start marathon training now. So
Yes, and for Leanne, that was her second quickest time, very short of her PB of a very low 69 minutes. I was just trying to find it quickly as we spoke now. I just can't find that. Sorry for the half. Where is it?
she's
Here.
got him back.
69.01 for Melbourne last year. That was.
Yeah, she pulled out of Launceston, Leanne, because she had a calf injury, so she's come back quite well. She's really
Yeah,
quality top athlete,
amazing.
Leanne.
Amazing run. It must be such a thrilling experience to have a huge pack like that run around you to assist you as well. Of course, I think some of the guys are getting assisted by Leanne as well, but what comes around goes around. So it was awesome to see. The 10K, Stephen, you seen any footage of that or heard anything other than the results that lie in front of us?
No, I didn't. I saw them out on course, but outside of that, I haven't seen the race or anything. But so in the men's, Matt Buckle, who I believe has recently signed with ASICS, and he's a Bendigo runner. He won in 29.13. Another ASICS guy and pretty well-known Olympic steeplechaser, Matty Clark. He was second in 29.30. Adrian don't hear his name as much anymore, but he's been on around this. Ruby Smee, who I believe has just come back from college. I think she was at NAU and is a bit of an up and comer at the moment. She won in 33.04. And then Sophie Maloeki, she's a I hadn't heard of her, so I looked her up today. She's a triathlete, another pretty young as well. But it's a bit of an up and coming triathlete. 33.38. And then Jenny Blundell, who's also a two-time Olympian, was 33.57. I was when we were sort of heading back, I was parked at about the 4K, but 10K obviously kicked off at 9:25, and it was pretty warm by that stage. So I think the times sort of reflect that a little bit that it's probably not quite as fast as it can be on the Gold Coast, but I suppose there's probably now that the marathon's standalone on the Sunday. I mean, that's one good thing about the Gold Coast is you never run out the back of anyone, so there's no congestion, and I'm supposed to can keep it uncongested. They've got to put the 10K somewhere, and this year is at 9:25. So, I mean. I mean, for a pretty, not particularly close to any of the races though, so.
Yep, sorry, my internet's cutting out here again. You guys there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to give a shout out to the Bush Turkey guys here with some results. And obviously, if you've got any Bert guys to add here, that'd be great. I just don't know all of them anymore, and couldn't give an accurate representation here, but I could think of a few. In the marathon itself, let's get to that because that was pretty exciting for the group. 2:38, Alex Quinn, Taz Savage, I mentioned him before, 2:40, and a female, 2:51, Maddie Mallett, another amazing run from her as well. In the half, I'm going to mention Stephen's name because he was the quickest, 1:13:20. That was the PB exactly to the second mentioned above in the episode. Then Blake Reardon, 1:14:17. I was very close to being third, but I'll give a shout out to Arvi Singh, who pretty much paced me the whole way at 1:16:54. So a few mentions there. Any ideas on the half marathon for the Burt squad, Narissa? I know Ben Cook was out there.
Yeah, so there was about 50 runners in total over the events for Bert. So marathon, Ben Cook, yeah, was our fastest marathoner, 2:27:16. Kent O'Hori ran a PB,
Oh, yeah.
2:29:08.
That was a great run.
Yeah, and Cohen ran 2:32:35, which is PB. And then I'll just mention a few shout out ones. Dan Russell was debuting. He ran 2:36:53.
Yes.
Alex, yeah, 2:38:48 PB. Past podcast guest of yours, Maddie Cooper, 2:39. And then I will shout out Kate Todd. She ran 2:49:22 for 20 seconds, so that was a huge PB for her and an amazing run. And the half, we had heaps in the half again. Our fastest was Kyla Loth in 66:39, which was a PB. Not too far behind him was Ollie Palmer, 67:13. Michael Knops, you would know he runs sometimes at the Bush Turkey track events. He ran 70:31, which is a PB. Zach Newshaw, 71:53 PB. Just so many PBs. Miles and Liam PB. Yeah, Oliver was
That's
just
Miles
behind me.
Burt.
He's
Is
a
that
young
Miles
up and
Burfield, is
comer.
it?
Miles Bushby.
Okay.
Bushby. Yeah, and then Liam Leaney, he ran 67:18, so that was a PB. Yeah, so just lots of PBs all around. But yeah, we have so many runners. I can't name every single person there, but yeah, there was a lot of good times.
Yeah, that's amazing results. Kai Loth is one to watch. He seriously is like he's on the up. And yeah, he was a couple minutes ahead of that pack with Liani, all those guys around him. And we're talking about guys like Brady Trelfall and Kieran Perkins in that pack, who admittedly, again, were a few minutes behind their best running. But yeah, he's an up and comer and he's quite young, isn't he? He's no older than sort of 20, is he?
Yeah, he's young. He's been over in the States. I think
Yeah.
he's come back, but he's in college over there in the NCAA system at the moment.
Excellent. Well, let's get to the race, eh? And I might start with Narissa. I was there to witness probably over half of the race from behind you. Part of it, I think I just can't remember if I was in front of you or behind you at one point. I just didn't see you for a large section of somewhere between 5 and 10K and a fair bit of the start. But I'll hand it over to you, Narissa.
Yeah, so race morning went really smooth. Got up normally. I was really fortunate. I had a seated start, so I had access to the aquatic center, which was really nice. So, where all the elites were, so that's was quite nice. You can have toilets there, leave our bags, warm up, and that's where I saw actually Mark Windsor from. He was from Burton. He was running on the Queensland team as well, and I was just having a bit of a chat to him and asking him what he was hoping to run, and he was like, "Oh, somewhere in the 77s would be great." He knew he wasn't in his absolute PB shape, but that would have been a good run for him. So I was like, oh, maybe we can help each other. And we were both in the same, right next to each other at the start. So,
Sorry, can I quickly jump in there for Mark? He's a fantastic runner, great guy. How is he representing Queensland? There's obviously so many Queensland runners out there. What did that actually mean?
It was the Australian half marathon champ. So there was six men, six women on the Queensland team. So he was on the Queensland team. So you just have to nominate and be chosen as I think they just go by fastest times in the nomination. So I was on the women's team. He was on the men's team.
Okay.
He's been on a few Queensland teams actually, I think, for the marathon as well. But yeah, we were at the start. I mean, it was actually a really smooth start. Thank goodness. It's always a little bit nerve-wracking. You want everyone to stay on their feet, mass start, but it was a really smooth start. Did they move the start back slightly this year? Because I don't remember in previous years going up the hill
No, me
very
too.
like immediately at the start.
I agree,
And I thought
Stephen.
that I don't remember that.
I think they did move it. I'm pretty sure it moved slightly.
It must have then brought the
Probably.
turnaround back.
Yeah, I think so because you turned earlier this year, I think. But I know it's a few years since I've done the half, so.
Yeah, I've
But yeah,
never
I had
recalled
heard
going
that
up the
they'd
hill.
moved.
No, so that added a slightly more to the flat, but really nothing much. Like it actually helped smooth out the start. Everyone wasn't going quite as crazy, but I got into a really nice rhythm with my pretty much straight away. So we were just tick. I wanted to run like 3:38, like just under 3:40 pace, and that was going to get me my PB. So I just wanted to run consistently the whole way, not surging, not anything, and. It was actually perfect having Mark there, like a familiar person. We were just ticking off kilometer, kilometer, kilometer. I can't remember when you went past me early, but it was fairly early, probably like 5 or 6 Ks. And then you were literally maybe like about 5 to 10 meters ahead of Mark and I. So you had a little pack with you, and then we were just off the back of you, Mark and I. So, and we just were following the whole way. I think we caught onto the back of your pack around like 14K, and then we were sort of running together. So that was who was around us: Elliot Carr, Arvie was there,
That other Burke guy, you
Mugsy.
just mentioned him, Bleaney.
Yeah, he was a sort of a little bit ahead by then. Mugsy was there around. We caught up to him, and yeah, we were just ticking off still consistent kilometers. But then Mark and Arvie and things started putting a little gap on us, and I didn't really know whether I was slowing down or they were getting quicker. And it took me a minute, and they were actually just getting that smidge quicker. So they were probably running like 3:35s, and I was still running like 3:38, which was fine. And I was like, oh, I want to just, I don't want to do anything silly. I just want to get my PB. So I didn't go with them. I thought that might just be a bit, a smidge quick. So then I was just with you because Elliot pulled back as well. So we were running together for a little bit, and then it must have been maybe around 17, 18. You sort of just fell back a smidge, and I was just by myself. Then I sort of caught one lady that was ahead that I was trying to catch, and then yeah, I didn't see anyone else because Mark and Arvie pushed on and they went up just under 1:17, and I wasn't sure exactly. I knew my splits I had to do around 18:20 for 5K, so I hit that pretty much bang on. So I went 18:18, 18:20, 18:21, 18:20. So I ran pretty even. I finished, yeah, well, hit all the splits. But for some reason at the end, I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, maybe I'm only just going to go under 1:18. But as I was kind of coming through the finishing shoot, I saw like 1:16:40 something. And I was like, okay, I'm going to make it now. As you're going through you have a couple hundred meters, but it's not too far to the finish. I was like, thank goodness I'm going to finish. So allow me just to enjoy that last little stretch into the finish. Yeah, it was good having a few familiar people around, I must say. Like it does help tick off those kilometers. Just, yeah, made that feel a bit easier having company. And I was really happy with my race. Yeah, I think I timed my effort perfectly. Like I was definitely done at the end, but I sort of didn't fade either. So it was like just a perfect, yeah, consistent race where I've just timed my effort to the very end. Wouldn't have been able to go much further, but just didn't fade either. So, yeah, I was super happy. So I ran 1:17:22. The other thing with being a seated runner, you don't get net time; it's all on gun time. So I think my watch, I was like 1 or 2 seconds off the start line. Obviously, I wasn't right on the front. But 1:17:22 is my official time. 20th, 12th Australian, first Queenslander. So I was really happy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Quality run. Yeah, I sort of lost you there, as you mentioned, for a bit, Narissa. I was worried that maybe something was happening. And you can't, I think it's hard to really commit to running with one person, like mentally. So I sort of just decided I've just got to look ahead and worry about my own race, which sounds a bit selfish because I thought we'd be together a lot. That's how it just works. So I just sort of latched onto that group, as you mentioned, ahead and just hope and pray that you're coming through. And of course, you beat me in the end by around 20 seconds. But
Yeah,
that
no, I
pacing
agree though,
was
because
amazing.
I saw you and I thought, oh, Ollie's just a head shy trying to tack on. But I was like, oh no, I'm running already 3:38, which is PB pace. I'm like, I can just hang, I'll be fine here. I don't need to try to push to get on. So it's, yeah, I think I agree. You just need to do what feels right.
I had another mate, Dean, who I've mentioned on the podcast, who I trained with on those Wednesdays in those sessions, who was very similar to me. He started in the A zone behind us, but as we all learned, to be in the A zone, if the front of that zone, you can just they pull down that banner and pretty much you move into the pack. So he was just with me to start with, but then I never saw him again. Not once did I see Dean, who I've trained for weeks, talking about that we'd run together. But again, I'm not going to stress the whole time about someone who's behind me. You have to move on. And I was just hoping again that he'd have a good run. He did. I think he was about 119 in the end. Huge PB for him. But anyway, we're here to talk about us. Any questions for Narissa there, Stephen, before you have a chat?
I was just also wondering, like with the seated start, so did you do most of your warm up like just in the pool, or did you head out like how's that work with the when you're in there?
Yeah, so for the marathon, I did. When I did have done the marathon there, I have just run around the little pool because it's only like 5, 7 minutes of warm up. But for the half, because I like to do about 3Ks, I did go out on the road, and it was so funny because all the it's cool to see all like the actual like Olympians there, like Jess and Ryan and Brett and things, and everyone's just chilling. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like warm up time, and they're all. Everyone sort of goes off at the same time to their warm up, come back. They were all doing about 3Ks. So everyone went out on the road. So I just went out on the road and came back in because with your bib number, you could go in and out of the elite area. It's fine. So yeah, I went out on the road and did my warm up.
So it's the dream being good enough to get in there. It just takes out,
Yeah.
I imagine it just takes out a lot of the stress, like not having to worry about, bathrooms and your stuff and all that. Like the priority start definitely takes a lot of the stress out. But yeah, I imagine that would definitely put your mind at ease, I imagine.
It does. I've been fortunate to have it for the marathons and the half always at the Gold Coast. And yeah, there's so no lineup for toilets. You can leave your bag, you can come back, you can change your shoes, you can sit down and hang around. And then right at the start line, there's another little cordoned off section with a few portaloos if you need to do a last minute toilet before the start, just for the seated start. So it is handy to have that. It does help.
Yeah, that warm-up zone was quite awkward, wasn't it? Because as Narissa mentioned, that the hill was the first part of the race, and that was the only kind of section we had to warm up on. It's not a super steep hill, but just an awkward one to kind of, we're doing strides there for a bit, and then adding to the warm-up with just our jog. And I think our little group got about 2K out there, but just backing down this hill. So, I'm not sure if they're going to think about that moving forward. It's not a massive con, I guess, but something to think about.
Yeah, I agree. It was a bit awkward doing strides on a hill. I do agree.
Hey, pertinent question. Striding down that hill or up the hill? What did you guys do, and what's easier or better, do you reckon?
I did both, but I felt it was better striding up the hill, even though it was because yeah, you didn't want to stride too fast down the hill.
Yeah, I went up. I just would stride up. I did a couple of strides, one up, so jog back down to the bottom of the hill, stride back up again. So, up is marginally better. I mean, it's not really that big of a hill, but it is sort of probably just enough to be annoying.
Yeah, I agree. Well, let's stay with Stephen, and that warm up might be part of your recap, or even go earlier if you like, the day before or night before, anything that might have led into the race. Over to you.
Yeah, so I mean, I had a sort of interesting week leading in. Like, Jess, my wife, got like really sick at the start of the week, and my daughter had a cold, so I was kind of on edge about getting sick. All week, and then I did end up getting there's like little annoying like head colds you get that go for like 2 days, but they still yeah I had that in the week, so that was sort of stressing me out. But we end up sort of us feeling marginally better on Friday, and then by Saturday it was pretty good. Did the whole usual, try to my the day before a half marathon, I don't really like, I don't do the full marathon carb load, but I just try and stay full and eat more carbs than that. But I didn't probably quite do that as well as I could have either. So it was a bit of a funny week leading in, but I felt pretty good on race morning and as good as you can expect. We sort of, as Ollie mentioned, that we got the kids out, which is a lot easier at 4:30 in the morning because you just throw them in the car that you don't have to do anything. So
Part of it
we
too,
got
eh?
them up, drove in, got a park sort of nice and close to sort of the Maccas, which is really close to where the Moreton Bay tent was, where I met up with everybody. So I did the my usual half marathon breakfast, which is that I can't eat bread, so I just have like a bag of packet rice. So that's an easy way to get some carbs. Did all the usual things and then got to the start line feeling pretty good, where I met up with Ollie and a whole bunch of the other turkeys. Did the warm up. Sort of only got 2 Ks in, just because when you are in that sort of in the priority area and you got a duck, I sort of ran out of time by the time we got like a last minute bathroom stop as well. Then pre-race, the other thing I do is I have like just recently I've gone to this like caffeine gum stuff. So it's sort of like just gives you a bit of a caffeine sort of shot, like a Revy strip, but they're more pleasant than a Revy strip. So the race for me sort of went well. So I sort of did my warm up, and then as we took off, it's for me it's like the first bit I found a little bit tricky, just because I was just weaving through people, and it does hold you back a bit, but I find you sort of surge, and it's really fartlecky because you'll get a little gap and shoot through the gap. And it took me probably about, like I sort of ran past Narissa probably 200 meters in, sort of said hello on the way through, and then it probably takes
Bit
you
nasty.
probably 1500 meters, 2K to sort of before you really, yeah, just before you sort of can settle in, just because you're sort of weaving and stuff. But I didn't really, I was sort of getting in my head a little bit as well at the start, because I didn't really, there wasn't really a pack forming around where I was. And so I'd sort of like surge up, try and jump on a group, and then I'd sort of slow back down, and then some people would catch me. So I was probably a little bit like, not super smooth, like pretty smooth. Like, I mean, I went back and looked at the splits. They were all coming out pretty consistently around that 3:26 to 3:27. So I was hitting where I needed to be, but it probably wasn't the smoothest 3:26s and 3:27s. But by the time we got to that little section of the course where you do that out and back, I ended up forming into a really good little pack. So there was one of Ollie's mates, Chris Littlejohn, who I knew who he was, but I'd never met him in person. I ran a whole bunch of him, one of his mates who does a YouTube called, his name's like Average Dom or something.
Oh, average Dom
And
Slim,
then,
yeah.
him. And then there was another guy who is a mate of a guy I know who lives down the coast, and then about three others who I didn't know.
Yeah, right.
But we
So
had
sorry,
this
you didn't know Chris. Is that
really
the
good.
first time you met Chris officially out on the course, was it?
I was sort of running with him, and then he said something. I went, "Oh, hang on, are you?" Because I ran Run Army earlier in the year. You know that podcast he's on, his mate Jordan?
Yeah,
I
it's a
ran with
good
his
running
mate Jordan
podcast.
in
Yeah, a bit of
that.
a podcast battle off here.
And then he sort of said, he goes, "Oh," I said, "Oh, wait, you Jordan's mate Dom." I had a bit of a chat to him in the race. So I probably in races talk too much to people, and they probably like want me to shut up so they can just run. But the longer the race gets, the worse I get. So I shouldn't get into the trails because I'd chew everyone's ear off. But those guys, I pretty much from about 6 to 14K, we had this group, and it was just like a metronome, and you'd sort of shuffle around and all that, but we're just ticking off the K's. And like I think I'd said leading in that I was really confident I could get to 15K. And I got to 15K, and I was still like, no, this is okay. I'm not struggling too much here. One thing that when I got to 15K, I sort of had realized early in the race, I think I mentioned last time as well, I have a caffeine gel, not for the carbs, just for the caffeine, just to get through that last bit. But I wasn't feeling quite like 100% settled when I would normally do it, which is sort of 20 minutes in. So I sort of in my head was like, all right, wait a drink station, do it at the next one. And I just kind of forgot about it. And that was about 15K, I realized that I'd done that. But yeah, sort of around 15K, that's sort of, a lot of people say that's like, that's when the race gets hard and sort of you hit the real point. I sort of was starting to pass some people. That guy, Bert, he's a Bert fellow, Braden Spence. I ran past him, had a bit of a chat to him, and he was sort of dropping off, but the pack we were in was sort of splitting up a little bit. And then yeah, once I got to sort of around the last 4Ks for me, like overall, I was really happy with how I got to like the set under up until the 17th K. Then the last four, I was a little bit disappointed in. I sort of faded a little bit, but I had just slowed a bit, like not majorly. And then in the 20th K, where I don't know, they were there, Ollie. Probably actually, they would have been there when where Lisa and Rob were. And it was around the time I ran past then, I just found like, like when you just get that feeling, your legs just start getting really heavy.
Yeah, it's about 19K,
And
I
I
think.
had this like, it was in the 20th K because that was the bad K. It still wasn't terrible. It was a 3:37, I think. So it was, 10 seconds slower than I wanted to run. And I had this thought in there, and it's one of those things I think. We all battle it a little bit when it gets hard, but I remember thinking, oh, my legs just felt like they weren't gonna last. So I was saying to myself, just ease off marginally for the till the end of this K, and then you'll have a K to go, and you can go again. So it's sort of like just taking a breather before I sort of went again. But my legs like felt really heavy, and I don't know if it was, because. I think I'd mentioned as well earlier that I was a little bit worried just with the baby and stuff. I haven't quite done the, as I've sort of been 10, probably 10 to 15 kilometers short per week. And I don't know if it was that cost me, or the little bit of illness, or, skipping the caffeine gel or something like that. But it's just harder than harder than it's been for me in the past in half marathons. But the positive was that I didn't let it blow out in the last 2K, and I really probably could have. But I got, yeah, said I got through that last K. It was, the slowest of the run. And then sort of come into that, when you come over that bend, over the bridge where Andy made that big move, I think. And that's when you come to about a K to go. Just was like, all right, you've got a bit over a K, just probably 4 minutes to go, just dig deep. I came up to the, where the club tents were, and my daughter was on the other side of the fence, and I saw her really late, and I was gonna go give her a little high five. I was a bit too far across the road, but I gave her a little thumbs up, and like there was a few people we know in the Moreton Bay tent sort of yelling out, and Jess was there as well, and just like it was amazing. I just feel that when she gave me this like smile, and it was just really made my day. Like it sort of, and that last thing I was enjoying, I knew I was probably going to run a PB from there. I thought, gee, I'm lucky that my family like lets me get away with doing as much running as I do. And I just, it was just one of those moments. I just really started to soak up and enjoy that last little stretch. So, that was, to be honest, that was like a really, really special moment for me. And, came into as hard as I could. Taz got this video. He was in the finishing shoot. He got this video of me at the end, and I think my legs were about to go on me towards the end if it had been about a 21.5K race. So I was lucky I was only going for a little bit. But yeah, I came through, and kicked down that last little finishing shoot. It's one of the best finishes to a race, just because you go from the wide road and there's just so many people packed in there that you feel, pretty. It's pretty exciting running into it, and came with 1:13:20 was the net time that for that. So yeah, was a bit over a minute PB, which is, I couldn't have been happier with. But I suppose it was at the same time when I've run PBs in the past, there's been some where you go, I don't know how I'm ever going to do that again, or how I pulled that off. Whereas this one, I kind of I've kind of felt like, yeah, I was not shocked I was able to do it, and just really pleased that what I'd done had paid off. And yeah, as I've thought about it the last couple of days, I thought I wasn't too far from completely nailing the race either. So I feel like there is a little bit more next time I go do a half marathon. So it's just a really overall positive experience. I sort of met up with the two of you guys at the end and waited for everybody, and then headed back and just really soaked it in, because I said the Gold Coast, it's a really amazing atmosphere for the race. It's not like it's it's just the biggest race we've got. It's like a big party basically. So it's great morning. Like, it sort of couldn't have gone much better, I don't think. With the week I had going in, I just didn't quite nail the last 4 Ks, but I didn't let it completely blow out either. So it was a good result, I think.
Yeah, such a fantastic race, man. Again, congratulations. I think it represented the form and training, I guess, fitness that you've been in and shown in all those sessions. So yeah, just a great reward and representation of all that effort you put in. And we train so much. The frequency or ratio rather of the races themselves to the training is so minute, isn't it? So you want them to go well, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Noosa the previous year, that I know you and I both did, and I think everyone I know there had a bad day, and you don't walk away from those ones quite as on cloud nine. So, this one went well, and that's all you can ask for is, for it to go well, and you come out the other side raring to go again. That's all you want.
Yeah, quick question before Narissa might jump in here. You're a father of two now. You're 30, what, four this year? 33,
Yep,
34.
34.
What's the ceiling, do you think, in the half marathon? Give me a time potentially to the minute you think you could potentially get down to ever. Do you think you'll get close to 70 one day?
I think I can still take about a minute off it, I think. I haven't probably had a very good I haven't had a good night's sleep in four and a bit months. So, and I've missed some training, and as I said, I didn't nail. I think I went well on Saturday, but I don't think I nailed the race. So I think I could get down to about 72:30, I think. I mean, I'd have to get another block in, and I think if I trained a little, went a little bit more intentionally, I think there's a little bit more I can get. So, I mean, that to get down to that, it's only about 2.5 seconds off a K, so it's not much. I don't think I can get much faster than that, but I think I've got a few more years I can improve a
Yeah, definitely agreed. Notice anything else?
lot. No, I think it was a really good run, Stephen. And I agree, you definitely have a few more years. I don't think you're done yet. But your summary sort of summed up exactly how I felt at the end too. Like, I was really happy with my run. It was sort of, I wasn't overly shocked. Like, I felt like that was what my training was going to show, and I've got out of it what I wanted. But again, then raring to go a bit. Like, I feel like I can take off a little bit more time again to the 116s. Like, only take it's kind of made me excited to do another one. Not that there's too many halves now. I have to wait to fast halves. Have to wait to Gold Coast next year.
It's Gold Coast or Lonnie next year, maybe Noosa, but I mean, that's what's hard here. We only in Australia, and you only have a few goes a year, and I know I've tried to run fast in events with less depth, and it is just harder than it is at the Gold Coast.
Yeah,
So
yeah. It's almost not worth
you gotta go in. I think they're a different
it.
mindset. Like, you go in and you're trying to get the most out of yourself. But the Gold Coast, I think the thing about the Gold Coast too is, like, everyone, like, no, well, not everyone, but like most people have a pretty good day. And so you go in with this like confidence, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna have a good day, like. And I think that just self-belief, it counts for a lot, I think.
Oh yeah. Well, I might get into
Definitely.
my race, and we'll come back to those future races and goals. Hey guys. So yeah, I was absolutely stoked
Sounds
after
good.
this race. This run for me has really sparked my enthusiasm for running again. Not that I ever lost it, but You guys kind of know the year I had last year with that back pain, and for me, I kind of, well, I didn't plateau, I went backwards. Like I ran 2 seconds slower on the weekend compared to a 10K I ran last year. 3:37s last year, 3:39s on the weekend. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of like coming back to getting very close to that 2023 fitness where I PB'd with that 1:16:55. So only what, 45 seconds away from that on the weekend, but that's the nature of the sport running. You have these real periods of annoyance and when you're out injured and all these kind of things. And then you have the elation around results, and the PBs come harder and harder as you get older, particularly in the later 30s into early 40s. So you've got to, I think, be happy about what represents your fitness and ability as best as possible. And I felt that on the weekend, but I didn't mention it on the podcast, guys. Last week, I actually rolled my ankle on a shoe, a jogger that was sitting on the ground in my house. I was with my son for the day on holidays and we're heading out for a coffee. Stepped on the shoe and rolled my ankle, and I've broken and rolled this ankle about 5 times. So I do this all the time. It just like buckles on itself probably 2 to 3 times a year where I have a real moment where I just have to assess for a few seconds if it's bad. Fortunately, it wasn't, but I had this weird sort of calf pain through the week. Certainly wasn't bad. It was like a 0.5 out of 10. And you know those like race week phantom pain to get where you think it's bad and it probably isn't, and it wasn't at all. So I'm not going to sit here and say that had any effect on the race. The only thing it may have was mentally. But yeah, once I got in the race, I think it kind of disappeared. But the sickness disappeared too from Tuesday. I was sick for over 2 weeks. I spoke about that on the last episode. And it just, yeah, it took from Tuesday to realize what it feels like to be a normal, healthy person. And by Wednesday, Thursday, I was so excited to get out there and get running. So yeah, didn't sleep much the night before, but got a good block in of about 6 hours. Took me about an hour or so to get to sleep. Once I was asleep, I was fine, but woke up at 3:30. So I thought I'll just get up and linger around and get on with it. So yeah, got to the race and warmed up with Stephen in that kind of awkward area on that hill, but we got about a cane half or maybe low k's in beforehand, which was good. There's something truly special about warming up with your team before the race. You might not actually run with them at all. Certainly was never going to run with Stephen during the race, but to have him there is really reassuring. The reality is though, guys, you have to at some point get on the line, and the whole thing is an individual pursuit of everything that you've put forward in the last few months, right? And then it starts to hit, doesn't it, that you're about to run a half marathon. So I was with Arvi Singh from the Bush Jockey Track Club. We headed out pretty steadily. Like it felt almost too slow. And as Stephen mentioned, there were so many ahead of us that just are probably there for inappropriately, in the sense that they're inevitably going to fall back and in the wrong spot. But you know, that's how the race works, right? You get in that zone and you do what you can, and that's what we had to work with. So I was kind of stuck behind some runners thinking, geez, we're running terribly slow. Blake Reardon from our club, the Bush Turkeys, passed us and kind of gave us a wave like Stephen did to Narissa, and he moved forward and he was that second quickest Bush Turkey in the end. So I was thinking, how slow are we going here? So the only time I ever looked at my watch, other than splitting it at 5K, was about a K in, thinking, oh, you probably run a 3:55 here. That's okay, I'll speed up eventually. It was 3:45 pace, so it was probably slightly slower than I wanted. But got onto Arvi and a few others. The packs kept changing, Narissa. Like Stephen, I'm pretty talkative out there for a long period of a race, and probably annoyingly, I at one point said to a pack of like seven people, "How good is this pack, guys? This is awesome. This is amazing." And no one responded. They just like locked in. Didn't hear a word from Elliot Carr. He's a legend from Burt, quiet guy, and he's also super quiet usually out in the course, but I'm not sure if he was extra quiet that day. He ended up pulling out for a bit with a stitch, I think, Narissa. But Elliot and yourself, Narissa, are very trustworthy runners to run beside. And I guess Arvi as well is getting in that realm too from the Bush Turkey. So I had three people on my mind, Narissa, Arvi, and him. And that just worked a treat. To be honest, it was probably slightly quicker than I should have run, but I'm a massive runner to feel. And I only split it every 5K, as I mentioned, looking for 18:20s. First 5K, 18:12. Second 5K, 18:13. So I thought, okay, 10K is gone. I feel pretty solid. So we'll just keep going at this. And then at the turnaround, that third 5K, 18:24, that didn't feel slower or worse. That's just what the time was on my watch. And I thought, okay, that's fine because we're still sub 18:20s here. It started to kick in probably from about 17K, my 18, 17, 18th, and 19th Ks. From comparison to the Ks in the race, a bit slower. I wouldn't call it a blow up. I said to Liam McCarthy from the Bush Jerky Track Club, it was a semi blow up temporarily. Because you know when you come back from a blow up, which is only a few K, that's not really like you just the K's are disappearing and becoming slower. So yeah, I was hitting mid to late 330s through most of that race to 17K, and then it was like a low 340s. Nerissa and Arvi dropped like a high 330s to mid 330. Actually, I think it was closer to 334 or 5, actually, Arvi said. And I was running like a 343. And they just started to gap away from me. My focus dropped. I was in this pack with them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's all good. We're fine here. And then, yeah, at about 17K, I just wasn't sort of thinking. And they just started to disappear from me. But there was nothing I could do. I don't look back at it thinking I could have tried harder because I was trying everything I could. And similar to Stephen, it was something in my legs. Like my legs really get sore. It's normally an aerobic pain, like the breathing rate and heart rate, and trying to settle that. But there was something in the legs. And as Stephen mentioned, I think potentially for me, like all those, I guess, hardships I've had with having time out of the sport, not getting the mileage that I wanted. I certainly had some amazing threshold sessions that were long, but you can't run a half marathon in training. I got up to 14K. I didn't never do 17K threshold. That'd be inappropriate anyway. You'd be cooked for a week or so. So I just think potentially next time if possible, I just want to be hitting 70 to 80K as much as I can. It's all about consistency and frequency. I just think I was still on the up. I got a bit of a plateau there. Then I got sick and it came back down again. Whereas I wanted to keep going up and sort of stay there closer to 80 in the end. But yeah, in terms of I guess the preparation for that and what I've had this year in terms of the challenges, I was absolutely stoked to come in at 17:40 like Narissa. I saw about 16:40 coming into the shoot. It's definitely longer than you think it's going to be. I think it's closer to 300 meters as you turn. So I've seen 16:40. I'm like, oh, is 17? It's like sub 117 on the cards here. Definitely not. Got in past 117 and I see the clock. Of course, the gun time's always slower. And I was just so delusional thinking this is my time. Even though we would have had about 10 seconds and it was a 10 second difference between net and guns. So I finished absolutely ecstatic about a sub 118, but I thought it was 17:50 for until I got out of the whole race zone. I was talking to Arvi about running a 17:50 and he's like, mate, you weren't 17:50, were you? I checked my watch. Yeah, 17:40 in the end. So, yeah, third quickest time all time. The third time, no, fourth time under 118 in my running career. So, yeah, definitely happy with that. And it's given me hope again, guys, because I honestly thought last year that potentially I've run my PBs forever, that I'm done and dusted. I'll still run for as long as I can, but maybe the PB's out of reach. But this has given me real hope at my age that it's close. I'm in the Sunny Coast half coming up, and maybe that's a chance to have another crack. So that was my race.
Is there anything you would have changed? Like you had a pretty, doing the Wednesday, Sunday sort of thing, or do you think with the limited sort of time you had to prepare, was there anything you would change, or do you think the way you did it was sort of got you as fit as you could have been?
Yeah, I think it did. Like, if I look back at 23, and Narissa, I trained with you a lot for that, doing threshold work, but also at Burt, I was doing speed sessions every week for 6 months with no injuries. And the only difference was 45 seconds over 21.1 kilometers. And I had no speed work, Stephen, not by choice, but by the fact I was injured in that. And I was just, it was impossible to run fast. So I couldn't change that. I guess I could work a bit more with the threshold and decide to go Wednesday, Sunday, which was something I've never done before, but I think it was probably the most appropriate thing to do with recovery because they were long sessions, and it gave me a chance to experience that feeling of threshold work. And it just shows, I think, as you get older, the speed work's really like the icing on the cake, the tip of the iceberg kind of concept. Where if it's possible to do, it's going to help you. But the most important thing is mileage consistency, and then really good threshold work. And We know athletes, Stephen, that we don't need to name that, faster athletes out there in the running community that maybe need to do more threshold work to get better at marathons and half marathons. But I think all of us need to do threshold work, whether it's a 5K up to marathon, which is going to benefit all events. So I don't think I'd change that. I wouldn't change also the race, I think, because I think you got to decide sometimes, is a pack more important or a pace? Is the pack more important that's a few seconds quicker than you want? Or do you go, nah, that I don't need that pack. I'll back off and look at my watch for the whole race and run, say, 3:42 pace and not 3:38. For me, I'm definitely the guy that picks the pack. I'm not sure about you guys.
I think your race was really the best you probably could have got out of yourself. Although you should be really happy with that, considering, yeah, you had that disruption and things. Yeah, and to, as you said, to be not that far off your PB, it's probably given you everything you wanted out of it, the new a motivation to, hit make some new running goals again, get back into the swing of running, get some consistency under your belt again. You're not injured, like you've overcome your injury. With regards to the pack or my pace, I don't know. I'm not sure if I would pick the pack or the pace. I'm a little bit like I know where my fitness is at usually, and I don't get carried away by what other people are doing. So I'd probably run my own pace, but that's just me.
Yeah, again, I'm running very much to feel, so I'm not looking at my watch at all until those 5Ks. So I honestly thought we were not running. I hit a couple of 3:35 paces, and I'm happy I didn't look at the watch because if I had, I would have freaked out and probably gone off that pack. And for me personally, that would have affected me. But yeah, not sure about Stephen on that. Wasn't a huge difference, probably a second or two if I looked at my pace and decided I could have potentially come off that pack and done that.
Yeah, I think with the pack first, the pace thing, I think the lesson for me from Saturday was that I think pace is better and getting into your rhythm early in the race because the pack will form. If it's like something like Gold Coast where it's deep enough, it takes a while for the dust to settle and you to group into where you are. So if I could go back in time, I would have not worried about the pack for the first 5 or 6K, and then start to see who's around me, and then I think that's when the pack becomes more important, when you settle in and you just want to tick over the K's while it's getting gradually they're dialing up that intensity of how hard it's feeling. So that's just probably my big that's actually my big I try to take something away from each race, and that was my big one for this one is don't worry about them early, do your own thing early, and then find someone. But I think later, I think that middle sort of third of the race, the pack is, yeah, you want, if it's there, you definitely want one. So
Yeah, that's right. And like for me, it was hard to work out what my race pace was actually going to be. So potentially, it was always inevitably going to be quicker than I actually realized. So I think if you're slowing at 17, 18K, you've run a decent race. I think I wouldn't call my race perfect at all, but I think it represents a pretty appropriate half marathon that you do well as you tire a bit in those last couple of Ks. Probably not 10 to 12 seconds like me. Actually, maybe a bit more than that, close to 15 in the end, if you go from a 3:35 to a slower skate 3:51. But yeah, I wouldn't change that. But Stephen's got a point too. If the race has enough depth, just let that pack potentially just form naturally anyway. Awesome. Yeah, let's get into the future stuff. I just mentioned that sunny coast half, and I might continue here as I've done before on the other episodes, talking about what I've got lined up. I'll get to Narissa and then Stephen. Sunny Coast half. Now that's 5 weeks away, isn't it, guys? From the Gold Coast race.
I think
Less, I
so.
think.
Yeah.
I think it's. I think
Is it four?
it
Why?
might be four. I think because they moved it forward this year to. Yeah, I remember it got moved forward a week from the one the original site. I think it might only be 3 or 4 weeks away now.
Yeah, it is four. Yeah, 3rd of August. And that's almost always been on a Sunday, hasn't it? All events. Yeah, it's a one-day event. So yeah, I've got that lined up again. Debuted at Sunny Coast for the first time last year. Again, I didn't have the greatest year. I think that race there was a bit quicker than Noosa, maybe a 1:19 from memory. I think it's a good race if you're fit enough. Like I'm talking about the hill specifically, that's in there from Moolabah to Alex. So it's something to think about, but it's early in the race and you can kind of lock in after about, I think it's sort of 5K onwards. So yeah, looking forward to getting to that. Again, my race plan won't sort of change with how I approach pacing. I'll just sort of run to feel and find packs and maybe lap it here and there. And hopefully it's a chance if good weather permits and yeah, stay injury free and sick free, like Stephen was talking about with kids and stuff for next month. Hopefully it's a chance to, yeah, really have a crack at this PB, which I thought maybe last year was never possible. Then the Bridge to Brisbane 10K, again, not the fastest race, but I think it's such an exciting and fun race to be in two hills, that gateway start, that first K. And yeah, we're going to have, I think, more than any race this year, potentially more than Gold Coast. Bush Turkey's in that Bridge to Brisbane race in the same distance too. It's not like we're spread across four events. So I think it's exciting to have that into club competition too as well. Have a bit of fun. So that's me for events. Otherwise, yeah, a few park runs and get out on the track eventually for some 5Ks too to see if I've got anything left there for 5Ks.
What was your thinking, Ollie, with doing the two halves so close together? Just because you like Sunny Coast, or?
No, I actually had the marathon. I was meant to do the marathon, remember, on the weekend.
Okay,
So
yeah, that's right.
half was
Yeah.
meant to be a thing post like a real down 2 weeks almost from the marathon. Use that fitness potentially to do a couple sessions leading into Sunny Coast half. So now I'm left in a position where I've got, yeah, two halves within a month. Probably not ideal, but also I think it's. You can look at it optimistically that running a race is actually like an extended session. So let the body absorb the impact, you know, have a few days off, like a quiet week in terms of intensity for me now. And then we'll have a quality sort of 2.5 weeks there before Sunny Coast. What do you guys think of that turnaround?
I think the two halves is better than the marathon and then the
Yeah,
half.
exactly.
That's actually the only time I've ever had an injury was in 2019 when I did my first marathon and I tried to turn around and do Sunny Coast half, and it was a month later then. It was only 4 weeks as well, and I had got my first injury and my one and only injury. So it's not a smart thing to do post marathon. So I think you'll be better doing two halves. But it is a hard one because you've had such a great day on the Gold Coast. Like, I've gone to Sunny Coast before and I just find I've run solidly, but never as well as Sunny Coast. I don't know. Never as well as Gold Coast. I don't know whether it's just because slightly smaller event, slightly tougher course with the hill. It's usually a week later, so slightly warmer usually than the Gold Coast. But yeah.
Yeah, it's my second home
Yeah,
up here too.
I've
I'm
never
sitting here at the
cracked
moment
up.
up the coast. What's that, Stephen?
So I've never backed up from a marathon, so I think you're probably right that lucky. Well, I did attempt it once, but I think it was about 5 or it was maybe 5 or 6 weeks between 2023, but I got COVID on the Friday before the event, so didn't end up doing that one. But so yeah, normally I don't race that close to a marathon, but Sunny Coast, I mean I've done it twice. I've had one shocker in that year when it was hot, and one pretty good. I did the marathon there last year, and I had a pretty good day off a pretty interrupted first 6 months of the year. So I like the event. It's fun. So yeah, I reckon you're in for, if you build on this, you'll be in for a good one there, I reckon.
Yeah, as
There's enough depth, I think, as well, particularly in the half. In the marathon, not as much.
yeah, the half's definitely solid with depth. As Stephen was talking there, I just mentioned that it's sort of my second home up here now. We've got a unit that we've had for 2 years up on Twin Waters, which now is part of the marathon course. It literally goes past the unit. We're in resorts, so it's not like it's on our front doorstep, but it goes past the resort on the Esplanade here and potentially the Olympic course as well moving forward. So that'll be awesome to have accommodation for an Olympic marathon. But yeah, that's the races on my agenda. And yeah, we'll see how we go. I really just want to prioritize recovery now and don't need to, I can't really improve fitness now. It's about maintaining and staying sharp and being healthy. What about Narissa?
My next big race is Chicago full marathon. So that's was 14 weeks from yesterday, Sunday just gone. So that's where my focus will turn now. Hopefully to run a PB there. I'm hoping now that I've got my half down a bit quicker, that gives me confidence as well to I can go through half what I want to run sort of low 240s in Chicago. I will do, there's a Roadrunners 10 mile. I will do Bridge to Brisbane. It's the BERT 10K champs as two races in the lead up, but they're the only two races because the rest of my training, I'll just want to get in some solid, consistent weeks to, yeah, hopefully run well in Chicago. It's always a little bit of a juggle with the overseas ones, getting everything right, all the logistics, traveling with three kids, going over a bit earlier, but I've done it a few times now, these overseas ones. So hopefully it all comes together again. I've been really lucky. So cross fingers, it all goes well and can run another PB in the marathon.
Yeah, that's so exciting to be one heading overseas, but to do it with a marathon, and you've got much more time than I do, 14 weeks. But yeah, hopefully a month's enough for me, and plenty of time for you then, Arisa. And yeah, that'll be exciting to see how you go off the back of a half marathon PB as well. Anything else there? That's it.
Yeah, that'll keep me busy because then, yeah, after the marathon, I'm no good for a month or two. I need to recover and come good. So that'll take me out for the rest of the year. I'll only be just coming back then towards the end of the year. So yeah, all focus on the marathon now.
Yep, fair enough. Perfect, Stephen.
I'm glad you said it was 14 weeks because I was trying to work out how far away Melbourne is, and it's on the same day as Chicago. So that's my, yeah, again, that's the same for me. That's my big race for the my next big race will be a Melbourne Marathon. I'm heading down there with a few of the turkeys. It's become a bit of an annual trip. So yeah, we get a good group and have a bit of a fun weekend away. And Melbourne's a yeah, I've done it a couple of times. So that's my main one. The only other race I've got locked in at the moment is Bridge to Brisbane. I've actually had a really bad run with Bridge to Brisbane of like getting to the start line on it. So like I've wanted to do it for about the last 3 years, and then 1 year, 2022, I had got a bit of a like some kind of hip niggle that in the week, so I couldn't do it. And then the next year, I think I had a Bucks night the night before, so that was canned. And then last year I kind of pulled up with another injury after Sunny Coast. I had this quad thing that just sort of lingered, so I ran it last year, but I paced CC and Bluey, and they I sort of just jumped on with them at the start line. And it's one of those events I really want to have a crack at because I think it's a fun course, and I think it's not like I think you can run pretty fast there. So that's sort of the other thing I've got. I wouldn't mind doing something in August, but it might just be a Moreton Bay time trial just to get a bit of a gauge of where the first sort of month of this marathon block gets my fitness up to. But yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm same as Narissa. The marathon takes me out for about, yeah, I don't do much after it for about a month. So yeah, I'll just get to Melbourne, throw everything at that, hopefully run, I don't know, the weekend again. Yeah, I've run a little bit quicker. I think I can probably run maybe under 240 if I have a good day. So
Watch out,
might
Taz
work
Savage.
towards. Yeah, well, I mean, to me, Taz had an absolute blinder, and it's probably, to be honest with you, put a bit of, yeah, like, you know, when your mates run well, it sort of makes you sort of think to yourself, if they can, why can't I? So that's another great thing about a group is you've got people who have, you know, hit a blinder, like a great run,
Is he
and it
third
just sort
now?
of
Is he third
inspires you
quickest in
to.
the club?
Third
Alex Quinn
quickest should be.
second.
Yeah, Alex will be second, and yeah, Clive up the front at
Yeah.
2:27. So there's a bit of a gap between Clive. So hopefully I can, yeah, maybe get a bit closer to Clive or something. But yeah, I'm yeah looking forward to working towards that. And yeah, like I did a couple of the marathon workouts with some of the guys in the Bush Turkeys doing Gold Coast, and it just made me. I love the Sunday marathon workout. It's just so much fun, and particularly when you get, I'll have Arvi and Taz might be jumping in for Melbourne as well, so we could have a really good group of us training for it as well. So I'm really looking forward to the next few months of running, and yeah, hopefully I can build off the back of this and yeah, run another couple of PBs in this year. So that's the goal.
Yeah, that should definitely be a sub 240 project and more. Yeah, add your half marathon, that's double that. What are you getting? 236, 226. Add 10, that's 236. Add 10 minutes, that old generic rule. And then you've got 4 minutes to play with. So definitely possible and based on your training anyway.
236 is the goal then.
236. You've heard it here first and
We'll start
publicly.
with that and see how we go. Yeah, maybe. No, I know my approach of marathons. I don't know if Nerissa, you're the same as this. I sort of like, I set out with like not so much a goal, but I just sort of try and work into the fitness. And by about the second or third marathon session that you do, you start to see what you think you can do. So, yeah, I'm not, yeah, that's what I'll do for this as well. And, you know, when we get a few weeks out, I'll see how fit I think I am and, yeah, have a crack. But, yeah, at least, yeah, it's a good amount of time, I think. So I'm looking forward to it.
Just run my half marathon pace, mate, and you'll get it.
I'll
Get
give
your
it a
sub
crack.
236. Oh, guys, yeah, anything else to add there? I think we've covered it all now.
Yeah, I think that's everything.
Oh, nothing else from me, no.
Awesome. We are like how you added. You're very particular and appropriately so about the marathon recovery. So anyone who's tuned into this series about recovery from marathon has just run one. Have a break. Have some time off. Don't rush back into it. You don't even need to run this week. Get walking, get active, get riding, swimming, whatever that looks like. There is no rush. The half's different. The 10 even more so. The 10 you can almost session midweek. And the half, you can have an easy week and get back into it the following week. So appreciate those comments and appreciate your time on the podcast for the last few months. And I hope the listeners have enjoyed having us on here representing the Burt Squad and the Bush Turkeys and our abilities and personalities is probably the biggest thing that I appreciate on podcasts now is the storytelling and the personalities, and you guys have brought that this whole time. So definitely thank you for that and all your insights into your training.
That's great. Thanks for having me, Ollie. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed chatting, running, and talking to you guys every fortnight about training and learning a few things myself.
Fantastic.
It's been really fun. So yeah, enjoyed it, and yeah, good to get to know you there some more. Sure, I'll see you around lots more local races in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome, guys. We had feedback about the series through this series in many shapes and form, whether it's in person, comments in my DMs, reviews online. So appreciate all of that. I'm also a man that is happy to hear about feedback in ways that I can improve the podcast and series like this. So please let me know if there's things that we're missing out on or that you'd like to hear from, or maybe even names who you would like to hear from next as I continue to mix up the Road to Series mini series here on the podcast. So again, I thank you guys and probably on behalf of the listeners too for your time, free time. There's no money being thrown around here on this podcast to come on here and have a bit of fun and talk running. So thank you again, guys.
Thanks, Ollie. Thanks,
Thanks,
Stephen.
Ollie. Thanks.
Cheers. Talk soon, guys. Did you know the local legend in running podcast do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram and follow the links or give me a DM. We're happy to talk further. Thanks for listening and tuning in into the podcast.